I tell you the truth, I've been under more pressure the last 2 years than in my entire life. I know the scripture. I know it says don't worry about anything. I know 1 Corinthians 13 says we're not easily provoked. Wayne and I recently had to take some physical steps. I know the spirit. I pray in the spirit. I try to keep myself strong in the spirit. But we had to take some physical steps to prevent some things. So some things I don't do on Tuesday. It'd have to be an emergency. I don't do those things on Tuesday because I have to keep my heart settled for Wednesday. I've come several Wednesday mornings totally uprooted by the pressure. And so to eliminate that pressure, if you want anything on Tuesday, you get Susan or you get Wayne, but you're not likely to get me because I have to cushion myself. I would come if it's an emergency, you understand, or if it couldn't be postponed, I'd be glad to do that for you. But I have to cushion and prepare myself and keep my heart ready to deliver the word on Wednesday morning. And I found some things are a detriment to your peace. I have to do some things in order to follow the scripture. It says, don't worry about anything. King James says, be careful for nothing. Careful is like full of care, full of worry. So anything, that's pretty big, pretty broad, isn't it? And then I'm increasing my prayer time and praying more in the spirit. You have to keep your spirit strong. That's what I want to talk to you about, keeping your spirit strong. Some of these things can really be prevented or can be cushioned by the strength of the human spirit. Now let's look at the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 and find out how it's possible to keep our spirit strong so that when you know there are pressures in life. You did know that, didn't you? There are pressures in life. One definition in Vine's dictionary says pressure of circumstances and antagonism of persons. It's a definition of affliction. Pressure of circumstances, antagonism of persons. Here's a wonderful prayer that Paul prayed in chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your answer is found in the Father. It's found in going to the Father in the mighty name of Jesus. He has the answer, and he wants to answer. He doesn't want us to be troubled. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You carry the name of Almighty God. That's why they call you a Christian, or we might say a Christian. That's who you are. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's God's prayer. He wants you to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Now, this is not mental strength. It's not mental ability. It's not physical strength. It's an inner strength. It's a strength of the spirit man that invades the body, that invades the mind. Anything you get that you need comes from the spirit to the mind and to the body. And he wants you to be strengthened. Well, there are two things. First, you can pray, and you wouldn't pray for God to give you something he wasn't going to give you. He said you could pray for him to give it to you, so he's willing to give it to you. But yet there's a part that you can play, what you can do to be cooperative so that strength will come. I know one time, we had years ago, I can't remember now what happened, but something that was very upsetting. It just rolled over me. And I could tell I would ordinarily be moved by that, and it just rolled past me. And I'm just smiling and talking and fixing and, you know, solving. I'm thinking, wow, I like this. I really like this. But it comes from the strength you have on the inside. It comes from the inner man. And God wants you to be strengthened. He says, you ask me to strengthen you, and I will. But here's the part that you have to play, the thing that you have to do. Look at Jude 20. We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is in you if you're born again. Then there's a subsequent spirit, subsequent experience, where he comes upon you. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. This verse is very familiar. Verse 20, 21. Usually we read 20, we don't read 21, but I want to connect the two for you because there is a definite connection. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that all goes together. It says, you building up yourself on your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, let me read you another translation. A wonderful computer sheet. You know me, I'm not computer. I just say, pull that off the computer for me. That's how that happens. It's a wonderful thing. You know the Murdoch translation? Me either. My beloved, that's you. Be ye built up anew. It means every single day we can be built up and built up and built up and built up. In your holy faith, through the Holy Spirit while you pray. Be built up through the Holy Spirit while you pray. Your spirit built up, strengthened, and the word edify is used in the scripture. The word edify means constructed. There's some things God wants to construct in you, in your spirit, that makes you resilient to trouble, that makes you able to go with the flow. Building up yourself anew in your faith through the Holy Spirit while you pray, and keep yourself in the love of God while we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto our eternal life. Now, here's the message. You, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, staying right in the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. My, if you're walking in the love of God and have the mercy of God and are built up in the Spirit of God, that pressure's not going to be much trouble, is it? Here's the Phillips. I love the Phillips. Let me read off of this. I've got it in my Bible, but it's in small print. You, dear friends of mine, build yourself up on the foundation of your most holy faith, and by praying through the Holy Spirit, keep yourself within the love of God. And the Phillips connects the praying in the Spirit with the love of God. Now, I know that has validity because I found that's true in my life. If there's irritants in your life, the best thing you do is strengthen your spirit. When you strengthen your spirit, you're strengthening all that's in your spirit, and the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You have love in you. And if you pray in the Spirit, you strengthen what's in there, and you strengthen the love of God so the love of God reaches out into that situation and not the flesh, because the flesh is easily irritated. You knew that, didn't you? You can be strengthened. Well, that's your part. First, we're going to pray and ask God to strengthen us. And he said, strengthen in the inner man, not strengthen your mind, not strengthen your body, but strengthen your spirit. Because in the spirit is where life is, where eternal life is, where God's life is. And it's in the spirit that you can conquer. No matter what the pain, there can be in the spirit great gain. And so you're going to pray and ask God to do that for you. And then you're going to cooperate with heaven, and you're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Scripture calls it being filled with the Spirit, calls it receiving the Spirit, receiving the gift of the Spirit, being endued with power, being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Different expressions we covered last week, I believe, all mean the same thing. It's like, is it the sofa? Is it the settee? Is it the divan? Is it the Chesterfield? It's all of those. Different words, same thing. Different words, same experience. You can be baptized with. You can be endued. The word endued means to be clothed or covered. Well, if you're baptized, you're covered in water. If you're endued, you're covered with power. It's the same experience in a different expression. You can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or you can just receive the Holy Ghost, or you can be filled. And it is the will of God for you to be filled. Once you're born again, the Holy Ghost comes to live within you. You have God's water. He's referred to as the water. You have water in you, but God wants to fill you up. And he wants you to stay full. And it is by praying in the Holy Ghost that you stay full. And it's by staying full that you become resilient to some of these dilemmas that happen. Now, I just find out just every now and then, even resilient people have to gain their footing, you know. Nobody's immune from being thrown off. And yet you have to re-anchor. And you anchor in the Holy Ghost. You anchor by praying in the Spirit. It says build yourself up. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't give you faith. People pray for faith. I hear that every now and then. But faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by praying. You can pray till the cows come home. I was just asking Wayne the other day because I heard that on a commercial. When do the cows come home? You know, I have a detailed family, a family of details. And so all you have to do is put that question out there. We'll have an answer. I don't know if they come home in the evening or the morning. In the evening. You can pray till the cows come home, and it won't bring faith, because faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by praying. So if you want more faith, you want to increase in faith, you want to grow in faith, you have to get in the Word and begin to read, meditate, and ask the Lord to teach you His Word. And it is through the Word of the living God that faith comes. And it says we're going to build ourselves up on the platform of our most holy faith. In other words, our most holy faith is in place. We have a platform. If you have a stage production or a play, you have a platform. But they put on that platform, on that stage, certain props so that the drama can be effective, so that you can see what's happening. And they may put a sofa or a chair or a lamp. They may have an outdoor scene. They may have a grocery store scene. But they put certain props on that stage. And we have the stage of faith. We believe in the living God. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The greater one dwells within. And he's there to teach us and bring all things to our memory. He's there to guide us into all truth. He's there to show us things to come. God, the Holy Ghost, is a workman. And it says we labor together with God. So what is your part? In the labor, your part is to meditate in the Word, to yield to Him, and to grow in faith. And then if you want the strength of God, because the Lord is the strength of your life, strength comes to your spirit, soul, and body, yet it begins in spirit, begins on the inside. And one thing that you are told to do is to build yourself up. In other words, by praying in the Spirit, you put props on the stage of the Spirit so that the water of the Spirit can flow out of your heart into your circumstances. And it'll just happen that way every time. Now, you may have to give it some effort. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14. But if you want peace, it's worth the effort. If you want God's strength, it's worth the effort. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If somebody really irritates me, it doesn't happen too often. But if somebody really irritates me, I have to take extra time to pray in the Spirit. Because I know by praying in the Spirit, you strengthen the Spirit, and then the strength of the Spirit will cause the love of God to flow out of you and help you to respond in love and not in anger. You know, sometimes I have to just say, we can't discuss it right now. That means if we discuss it right now, I'm going to chew you up and spit you out. But it's not godly. It's not who I am in Christ. It's yielding to the flesh and let the flesh dominate. Somebody said the other day in an instance that happened, they said, wow, nobody will ever know they're Christian. I kind of hung my head because I knew I had to be standing there. I knew that was right. Jesus said, by this shall you, they know you're my disciples if you have love. Well, where's love? One for another. Well, love's on the inside. Well, how are you going to get it to the outside? You're going to pray in the Spirit. Provides an avenue or a pathway for what's inside to come outside. Strengthens you so that the flesh doesn't dominate you or control you. We're going to ask God to do that. And then we're going to help God. We're going to labor together with God. We're going to work with God. Some people don't get anything because they just depend on God to do it. And God wants to do it, but He is always doing it with you, with your cooperation, with your help. And so you can work with God by praying in the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, this is a privilege of everybody who prays in other tongues. You can pray in English. You can't pray but so far because you don't have but so much knowledge. In English, you can't pray beyond your knowledge. The wonderful thing about receiving the Holy Ghost come upon you or being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost that dwells in you at the new birth who fills you up. You can stay full. Praying in the Holy Ghost helps you to stay full, strengthens you in the inner man so that you are full, so that what's on the inner man will come to the outside. You can stay full, stay full, stay full, stay full. That means that you're going to have to put some effort into this. You know in the old Indian movies, they did a rain dance. You've seen the Indians do the rain dance. You know why they did the rain dance? Because it's not raining. Because it's dry and dusty, and we need rain. You know, if you're dry and dusty and you need the rain, you need to do your rain dance. Say, I can tell the difference when I pray and when I'm just building myself up when I'm praying for somebody. There is in my spirit a difference. But it doesn't matter. You pray, and you pray in other tongues. I can't pray in other tongues. Today's your day. We're going to help you today if you want help. But look here. The word is built up in Jude. This is a different word, the same experience. Different word, same experience. If you get all the similar experiences together, similar words together, the scripture begins to open up to you like a rose blooming. Verse 2, chapter 14. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. This is a marvelous chapter. It's talking about what does the church do when they gather together and contrasting, edifying all of us as we gather together and you edifying yourself. And the word edify is to strengthen or to build. Now, there are some things that can be, we talked about laying that foundation of the faith and building some things on that foundation. You have the foundation of faith. You're born again. You're God's. And you can build on that foundation. One way to build and construct an edifice on God's foundation in your heart is pray in the Spirit. And it says that edifies you. Edifies you. That's verse 4. The word edifies also the word recharge like a battery. Well, one day I had a meeting to do and I went out to my car. I'm a right on time person. If they want me at 10:30, I'm likely to be here by 10:28. And I went out, my car wouldn't crank. It was just dead. So I had to call, tell somebody to sing. I had to call and actually Susan came out of the house. I don't live too far away, and she came out of the house and got me. But the car wouldn't go because it didn't have the strength to go because it didn't have a battery. The car is designed to go. It's designed to transport. Your spirit, man, is designed to transport you from victory to victory, and it cannot do it in a weakened condition, and it is weak if you don't keep it strong. And it's so easy to keep it strong. It's so easy to fill up every day. We used to sing, fire up, fire up, Christians, fire up. Keep the fire burning in your heart. Fire up. Fire up, fire up. You know that song? No. Christians, fire up. I just tell you, y'all's musical career is short. Keep the fire burning in your heart. Fire. How do you fire up? He said to Paul, said to Timothy, stir yourself up in your most holy faith. How are you going to stir yourself up? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, that word edify means to recharge like a battery. The car's designed to go, but it won't go because the battery's the battery's dead. In other words, it can't fulfill its purpose. It can't fulfill its job. It cannot do what it's supposed to do because it doesn't have the power to do it. And if you don't have the power, you cannot do what you're supposed to do. You may have a divine assignment. You may know what you're supposed to do, but you'll not be able to do it without the power of heaven. That's how I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was raised in a denominational church, been in church since church nursery, but I never had, we had a lesson every now and then on Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. And that's all I knew about the Holy Ghost. That's my sum total of my knowledge. We had, it was the days of lay ministry. I was in my early 20s, and they would bring lay teams, and they would pair you up with a layman. We're going to go door to door, and we're going to ask you, can we read this brochure to you? You know, people are glad to see you at the door when you have a 5 or 6, 7, 8 page brochure you want to read to them. I was absolutely petrified, absolutely petrified. We were paired women with women, men with men, but as we were getting the teams ready to go, this little man who was in another team, he said, well, I'm going to pray that they're not home. I remember as well as it was yesterday. I thought, you know, this is a wonderful thing. I'm agreeing with him that they won't be home. I was absolutely horrified. And when I got to thinking about it, pondering, the Lord began to deal with me. These people are going to hell. And hell is hot and hell is eternal. And I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to be saved, but I don't have the courage. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power to go door to door and say, can I read you this book? Not that that was ever a good idea, you understand. But I got looking for power. I'm not looking for the Holy Ghost. I'm not looking for other tongues. Never had heard of other tongues. Never had heard of it, period, zilcho. I had that just 1 second acquaintance with the Holy Ghost. That was it. I'm looking for power. I know I'm born again. There ain't any doubt I'm born again. I got to Acts 1. And I thought I'd just read the book of Acts. If there was power in Acts, maybe I'll find out how it got there. I got as far as Acts 1. You should receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. This is how the Holy Ghost works. This is how Revelation works. When I read, after that, the Holy Ghost come upon you, I said, well, he hadn't ever come upon me then because I don't have the power. I knew that the minute I read that verse. Just like you snap your finger. I just knew that. Now, I don't have a clue. I know I'm born again. What the difference is, because I didn't have knowledge. Later, a lady came to me, and she called and said, could you come visit me? And that didn't happen too often. And so I said, sure. And she came and she said, I want to tell you something. It may make you mad, but I want to tell you. Well, little did she know I'm looking for the power of God. I've been looking for it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And she told me about her experience being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't know exactly what she was saying, but I listened. And then my Sunday school teachers at the denominational church both got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They felt led to resign their class, but they gave an opportunity for everybody to hear their testimony, and I went. In fact, they gave it twice. I went both times. Wayne said, what'd they say? And I didn't have a clue. I said, you know, they had some strange experience with God. I don't know. And I didn't. I didn't know what I'd hear. I didn't know what I was listening to. I was so far removed from that. Now, I was a student of the Word. We read our Bible through every year. I could memorize Scripture, had a lot of Scripture memorized. But I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, didn't know anything about the power of God. And if you're afraid and you can't proceed further and you don't have the strength and you can't handle life in the Spirit, then you need to begin to stir up your spirit. Well, I just stumbled across Acts 1:8 and found the power. And then somebody, after 2 or 3 witnesses, arranged for somebody to lay hands on me, which that's not necessary, but it's a help to many people. And they laid hands on me, and I didn't begin to speak in tongues that day, but 2 or 3 days later, I did begin to speak in tongues. And what a blessing it's been all these years. And I find any time I have a dilemma, any time I'm troubled and lost and in despair, I bundle all my troubles up and go to God in prayer. I tell him I'm heartsick and lost and lonely too. I tell him I'm troubled, Lord. I don't know what to do. And then I keep quiet. Think only thoughts of peace. And in that precious atmosphere, you see, God will help you. If you turn to God, he'll help you. That struggle will be over. It may not physically be over, but it'll be over in your heart. It'll be over in your life. It won't be bothering you. You'll just know. And then people think you're crazy because you're not worried, because you're not upset, you're not uptight. Aren't you worried about this? I said, not really. And then they say, you don't care. That's my favorite line. You don't care. I said, I'm not supposed to care. Scripture says, be careful for nothing. Give it all, give it all. Shh. What's the weapon? Build yourself up. Now, this chapter, by praying the Holy Ghost, is about the difference in what happens in church, where the church is gathered together, and what happens in your own personal life. If we gather together at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and spend an hour speaking in tongues, most of you over time would quit coming. We certainly wouldn't attract the sinners that way. And when you read this, let me show you some verses in this chapter, because this is a chapter of contrast. Look at verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say, you're mad? In other words, when we gather together, now we're not talking about prayer meetings. We're just talking about gathering together to worship, gathering together to teach and preach. To take that hour to speak in tongues a whole hour is not going to profit anybody. It's contrasting what's best for you personally and what's best for the church. Now you go down and read verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? It's talking about coming together. Corinthians was not written to an individual. It was written to the church, Corinth. Talking to the church is what you're supposed to do in the church. Everyone who hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. What edifies you personally, strengthens you personally, would be your time praying in the Spirit. That'll edify you personally. What edifies the church as we gather together? What would be the most that would edify and strengthen and build up the church would be the psalm, the hymn, the spiritual song, the revelation, interpretation. Now, a psalm is a song or a poem. It doesn't have to be sung. A doctrine is an instruction or teaching. Tongue has to be interpreted in a church service. And revelation, of course. The word revelation comes from the root word to lift the lid. I love that. Means you didn't see it. You lifted the lid. You saw it. So it's a wonderful, wonderful word. And it goes on to give instructions about if people speak in tongues, give a message in tongues in the church, has to be interpreted. That's talking about the church. Now let's look at it again in verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. So he's not putting tongues down. Tongues is a wonderful weapon. It's a wonderful weapon. It's what's going to strengthen you. It's what's going to build you up. What's going to recharge you. It's what's going to stage the platform of your faith so that you can pour forth that which God wants you to pour forth. But rather that you prophesy. Talking about gathering together in the church. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. What edifies, strengthens, builds up the church when we gather together as a church? Not to pray. That's different. But when we gather together, it's a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, a teaching, an instruction, a doctrine, a revelation. That's what edifies the church. Now, you may not know, but in church history, they had gathering together meetings where all they did was just speak in tongues. And what he's saying is that's not going to be the most profit for you. Do that at home. In other words, you pray at home and come strong. Come strengthened. Come full of God. You can be full. You can be half full. You can be sort of full, almost full. You can remember a time you were full. But that doesn't have to happen. He's talking about edifying the church. And then goes back to verse 4, which we read before. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies. Prophecy is inspired utterance in a known language. It would be in English here. He said prophecy, in other words, when we all know what's being said as we gather together, would be more profitable than if we all sat around and prayed in tongues. But at home, if you want to strengthen yourself at home, the thing you need to do is pray in tongues. And build yourself up and strengthen yourself and be strong. And then we used to have, I don't know if you know about Pekingese, they're double-coated. That's my favorite dog. We have had four over the years. And they're double-coated. They have a top coat and a bottom coat. And some of them are almost water-resistant. Have you ever had one of those water-resistant dogs? They're almost like they're half duck. You can water those things down, water those things down. We had one dog that had a bath every single Saturday. Thank God our other dogs didn't have that trauma, but anytime you'd water them down, it'd take a considerable amount of time just to get them soaking wet because the water, it beads up, it rolls off. And then once you get the top coat wet, you got all that bottom coat, which is totally different. And you can see the difference if you rub their back. Well, that's somehow in our own life. It may be a little hard for us, but keep watering. Don't give up. Don't quit. And you keep watering until you're satisfied. I used to pray every night after 11 o'clock. And I'd pray till my heart was satisfied. People say, how do you know when to quit? You know. You know when to quit eating, don't you? Anybody here doesn't know when to quit eating? And I just prayed till my heart was satisfied, till my heart was full. When you're full, you're satisfied. And sometimes I pray till I'm jittery. I'm jittery this morning. You're just kind of jittery. I mean, the Holy Ghost is called the power of the Holy Ghost. And that power sometimes makes you a little, you think you're nervous. I'm not really nervous. But that power, you can feel the effects of that power. And you're praying and pumping up your spirit. Now, if you see them pray, we've been to Scotland several times. You see them pray, play the bagpipes. I mean, it looks like a big deal. They say in Scotland, everybody can play the bagpipes, but very few people can play them well. And if you hear them played, if you ever hear anybody do a really fine job, you'll know the difference. But there's a lot of air and blowing involved. Keep that bag pumped up. Kind of like the accordion. that we play going in and out, except there's the bagpipes were played more with air. And there is the air and the wind of the Spirit stirring in you as you reach out to heaven. You don't have to wait till you have a dilemma or a trauma to reach out to heaven. Do it today. Stay full. Get full, stay full, be edified. Now it says, verse 2, he speaks in a tongue, speaks not unto men but unto God. We don't need to all gather together 3,000 strong at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning to speak to God. We come so that we'll be edified. We can speak to God at home. And that's his point here. Verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church. He's not knocking other tongues. He's given its proper place and position. In the church, I'd rather speak 5 words of my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. He said, together, as we gather together to reach one another, to help one another, and to help the lost and the unlearned people that would come, we're better off to teach and instruct than to sit around praying tongues an hour. But at home, if I want to be built up, I want to be strengthened, and I should come to church full. That's what I like about the 11 o'clock service. It gives me time to get full before I come. At 9 o'clock, I will not be full when I get here. Not likely. I mean, it could happen, but it doesn't happen as easily because I'm not a... I get up early. I'm just not alert. So 11 o'clock works better for me, and I'm not promoting 11 o'clock. You just go to 9 o'clock. You go where you're supposed to go, and I'll go where I'm supposed to go, and I'm so glad I can go at 11 o'clock because that helps me stay full and get full. You're supposed to get full. You're supposed to stay full. Why? Because you need that strength to handle life. And here's the thing. It's not just so you'll handle life. It's so you can help somebody else in their life. And the purpose of the power, the purpose of the strengthening is not really for you. It's to make you strong enough to be of value to others. It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses. You shall reap power, and you shall run faster, leap higher, talk louder. No. Now, those things happen. We're not opposed to those things. But the purpose is so you'll be strong enough, empowered enough to be a witness. There are things I don't do well. I'm a very shy person. If you only knew me, if you knew me on a personal level or knew me before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, before the Lord called me to teach, you'd be amazed. I still am a very shy person. There are things I don't do and don't do well. And one thing I don't do is baby showers, wedding showers. I'm not good at that. I'm just not good at that. I'm not even likely to go. If I have an occasion where I feel like I really must go, I have to pray first. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to this baby shower. I'm strengthening my spirit so my spirit can override my flesh because my flesh says, don't go, you won't like that, you won't enjoy that. There'll be all that small talk. They'll be talking about things that you don't want to hear. There's a difference in the younger generation, older generation. The younger generation tends to say things that the older generation does not want to hear. Just put that hint out there. In case you're talking to an older person, be careful what you say. Be nice. Be kind. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. So I can pray in the Spirit. I've had some marvelous baby shower and wedding shower encounters. One lady who knows me, has known me for decades, spotted me at one wedding shower, and she said, you did so good today. I watched it. You spoke to everybody. You were kind to everybody. You listened to all their chit-chat. She said, you did great. I said, I prayed. You want to conquer life? Praying in the Spirit is God's given way. Praying in the Spirit will allow you to do and allow you to say. Then pray. Edify yourself, strengthen yourself, build yourself up. You see, that car is supposed to go. You're supposed to go and to witness. You're supposed to go and do some things. And if you don't have the power, the strength to go and do them, then you need to pray because the strength is available. You know, if you open the refrigerator, there's no food available. You ever had that happen? He kept opening the refrigerator. His wife kept watching him open, close him, open, close him, open, close the refrigerator. I mean, over an hour's time, he must have opened it a half a dozen times. Finally, she said, honey, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, I'm hungry. I'm looking for something to eat. She said, well, you can see what's in there. He said, yeah, I saw what was in there the first time. Every time I open the door, I'm lowering my standard. He's actually hunting something that's not in there, you understand. That's when I always say, how about popcorn? I don't too much like popcorn, but I believe it solves many of late night problems that have popcorn. What is your standard? You want to be strong in the Lord? Does Scripture say be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? How are you going to do that? It says, greater is He that in you. How are you going to get the greater one in you to manifest on the outside? I mean, is he sitting there in a lounge chair with his feet propped up? Does he want to do something? One door and only one, yet it's sides are two, inside or outside. The more I pray in the Spirit, the more I sing. Y'all knew that, didn't you? Inside or outside? Or do you have an inside and outside? Do you have an inside and outside? Is God just inside or is he supposed to be inside and outside? How are we going to get him outside if he's inside? Praying in the Spirit. Is God's given way praying in the Spirit to help you to do and to say? I just tell you, when I go to Africa, I've done this in Moscow 7 different years. I teach 60 hours in a row. Somebody asked me how you do that. There's nothing to it. But I get ready. First of all, I never tell myself, boy, that's a lot of hours. You are going to strip your throat. I have stripped my throat. I have stretched my vocal cords and done some damage at one time. I don't ever talk about that. I said, I'm going to go in the grace and the power and the strength of heaven. To me, a word is given. The anointing is strong. The word is clear. The people draw near to hear and hear and hear. And the faith rises higher and the strength of God flows powerfully. I get my heart ready. And then I pray in the Spirit. Now, you don't have to pray loud to pray in the Spirit. I can pray in the Spirit with Wayne asleep in the bed, me laying right by him. First of all, he's a fairly sound sleeper. And second of all, you don't have to make noise. You may think you have to be loud, but you don't have to be loud. God is not hard of hearing. Somebody asked me why people in this church pray so loud. I said, you know, if you talk to them about their car, they talk loud. Most people pray loud, they talk loud, they're just loud people. It's okay to be a loud person. It's not illegal or immoral. You want to be loud, be loud. If you're a soft person, be soft. But when it comes to things of the Spirit, you can be loud, you can be soft, you can be quiet. You can be fairly sedentary. You can leap and shout and run. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Why? Because we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. We're supposed to what? How are you going to be strong? Stir yourself up. How are you going to stir yourself up? Pray in the Spirit. Can you do that in English? Not nearly as well. It just won't work. I'd like to tell you it would, but it won't. You know, it challenges your mind. You think, okay, all is well today, and your mind says, I don't think so. You say, all is well. The Spirit of the living God says, I knew that. I knew that! You can always get Spirit to agree with you. You and Spirit and God can agree. Whereas your mind doesn't want to always come into... Your mind is challenged by life. But don't you be challenged. Praying in the Spirit is God's given way. Praying in the Spirit will help you to do and help you say. I wouldn't give $1 million. If I had to give up tongues or to take $1 million, I'd say you have to keep your million. People that give in money or win a lot of money run through that money. But the Holy Ghost is eternal. He's forever. He's my comforter and my helper forever and ever and ever. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let me give you one more hint. Verse 17, chapter 5 it is. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, in case you don't know what the will of the Lord is, it's in verse 18. Here it is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is in the continual tense. It's be being filled. It's be continually filled, that verb tense in the Greek. My brother always gives me a run for the money. He's a Baptist pastor who knows Greek. And he said, yeah, but the Greek says... We have some time sometimes, he and I, over the language. But this is the tense. He would agree with this. It's be being filled. It's continually being filled. It's get filled, stay filled, pray every day. Make sure you're filled. Don't leave home till you are filled. And here's how. Speaking to yourself. So I thought people that spoke to themselves were crazy. That's what the world thinks, but that's not what God thinks. Come into agreement with God. Speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's the first thing. We're going to sing. I sing all the time. If I can't remember it, I just write my own words. I use a familiar tune. I love, you know, London Bridge is falling down. It's great. All my cares are washed away, washed away, washed away. All my cares are washed away. Hallelujah. And the farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. See, the farmer cares for the sheep and he cares for the crop. God's the farmer. He's in the dell and he's caring for me. I know that. And I just sing. It just makes myself so happy. And if you'll pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost and spend some time singing, you'll build yourself up in your most holy faith. And then when that challenge comes, it'll just like, oh, well. I'm not sure you're full. You're ever full until somebody says, you don't really care. Okay, first you're going to speak to yourself. Giving thanks always for all things. That's the second thing you're going to do. These three things go together. They're not separate. They go together. We emphasize verse 19 a lot, but these three things go together. Speaking to yourself, giving thanks always. I said, oh, I thank you, Father, for your strength. I thank you that you're working mightily in me. I thank you that I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm being strengthened in the Spirit. I thank you that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. I thank you that by your stripes I was healed. You sent your word to heal me. No weapon formed against me prospers. Oh, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And if you pray in other tongues, and you sing, and you spend time thanking God, and here's the last thing you got to do. You're going to get full and stay full. Submit yourself. You can't isolate that from the other three. You got to speak and give thanks and submit. Submit means to yield. It means life is not all about you. It's about the people you can help. And actually, the purpose of getting full and staying full is to be strong enough to help the other guy. And you know, it happens to me all the time. It happens to you. Somebody wants something, asks something, some question, or just wants some sympathy or something. You don't know what to do with them. And I know, I love it. They start, you know, my brother's sister's son in Texas. I'm thinking, brothers. Sister, son. Okay, I got that part. Brother, sister, brother, sister. Okay. And they go on and on. You think, whoo. You don't have a clue what to say. Not a clue. I mean, I don't have a clue. I'm not brilliant. But there's someone on the inside. And if you're full, I have said the most brilliant things. I want to say, excuse me, if you got a pen, I want to write them down. Never said it before. Never thought of it before. Didn't think of it then. Came right from the Spirit. Right from he who's on the inside. That won't happen if you're not strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It won't happen if you don't speak in other tongues and stay built up. If you don't sing and stay built up. If you don't give thanks and stay built up. If you don't submit. That's to your husband, your friend, your neighbor. That just means, the word submit means to yield. It means I'm thinking of you first. What do you need and how can I help you? You know, sometimes some of us should say, you know, give me an hour to pray and come back. If you're not honest, you'll never be what you can be. And I just have to say, people, you know, I don't really know, but if you give me some time to pray, I'll ask the Lord, he'll tell us. And I know that. I've already tried that. I know that works. Well, are you going to build yourself up on your faith, raise a platform? See, God has a production, a show. He has things he wants to do. And he's raising that platform of faith. And he's equipping it by the Spirit so that the performance can begin. And the performance only begins when the actors are ready. And you're the actor on God's stage. Now, in the natural, I don't know how those. I watch a few TV programs. I wouldn't even be good at some house program. You know, giving a tour or something. I just don't think I'm just not really good at that. I'd pray a long time before I could do that. I say I can do anything once. And after I do it once, I turn, whoo, that is not my gift. But I don't know how they memorize all those lines. And you know, you get, if you saw them on the stage and say their name was Beverly, you said, oh no, I saw you on TV, your name was Sandy. I mean, you just get captured by the program and the plot and the people. You think, this is real. This is, what are we going to do? I find myself praying in tongues over a movie. I think, whew, we are in trouble here. I've come to myself two or three times praying for the star to know what to do. That's the truth. I'll see one movie a year. I haven't seen one yet this year, so. And on a good year, I just watch the same movie I watched last year. I've been watching the same movie a good number of years, since first year was out, long time. I just watch it again. I don't like to pollute my mind. I don't like to pollute my spirit. Are you going to be strong? Are you going to yield? Are you going to submit? Are you going to put others first? Are you going to allow God to use you? Are you going to be an actor on His stage? Are you going to learn all your lines? That just means stay full. He'll give you the line. He'll give you the line if you're full. He'll give it to you. We thank you, our Father. We made that as clear as we could have. Thank you for your word divine. Thank you that we can stay full. Thank you for the equipping. The equipping, we're not alone. You're with us. You're not just watching. You're working. We're laboring together with you. We covenant to pray more, sing more, submit more, be more grateful. That's the way to stay full. Thank you. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.